These three Garage Rock kids are focused on creating fun, up-tempo tunes that are catchy from beginning to end. And they certainly deliver, spawning a polished mayhem of rock and roll grit and positive vibes. You're watching The Vocalist Magazine presents Frisky Kids. What kind of music did you grow up listening to?
A lot of Beatles.
Yeah.
A lot of 60s rock bands, yeah. Like, my dad pushed a lot of that on me when I was a kid, so it really becomes part of our sound today, yeah. Throwback sound.
I used to be one of those like emo kids a little bit. I used to listen to like Taking Back Sunday and just sit in my basement and brood. But when high school came about and I started drumming and playing with these guys and another guy named Andrew Malinowski, I started to play a lot more rock and roll and blues rock, and basically we fell into the same exact habits, you know, musically and otherwise.
Well, in high school we were really, really bored, me and Matisse, so we both picked up guitars just to pass some time, have some fun, kick it with friends.
Quite the experience. We met Matt in high school and we played with him and just started up from there, I guess.
Yeah, I was one of the only guys in high school that actually played drums. Everyone else was playing like guitar and stuff, so
yeah,
it's kind of a no-brainer.
What is the music scene in Hudson like?
Well, there's quite a few musicians from Hudson, though. Yeah, like
yeah,
Matt Holubowski's from Hudson, Patrick Watson's from Hudson. So there's definitely a push for music in Hudson. Not many places to play in Hudson. There's like one bar. There's a Hudson Music Fest, but we only ironically started playing there after we had moved downtown. So, but it's nice to be around a lot of people who, you know, are in like, they have music on their mind, and Hudson is definitely like that.
We get a close-up on this. We just found that.
It's essential.
And apart from the Beatles, who are other influences in your sound?
A lot of like modern garage rock, like Ty Segall and King Canada Shrines and King Canada Barbecue Show, who are from Montreal. And yeah, like Waves, a lot of the West Coast garage rock scene, because they share that same like love of like energy. And that's like who inspired us more to become a band, more than the Beatles, because like we went to their shows and actually like lived their shows, you know, and felt the fun and the experience as opposed to the Beatles, which is just listening to music.
And so like that makes us wanted to bring that to the shows that we play.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot of influences.
Yeah,
Sonics
like,
too.
Take influence like from everywhere, you know, anything we can. You know, a lot of like soul song. We love soul from the 60s too, yeah. Try to bring that in. But yeah, definitely like in the modern sense, like, you know, White Stripes, Ty Segall, Waves, Black Lips, all those like the good garage rock bands, yeah. Started drinking, never got a big red nose. The Beatles old lady with a rubber hose. He takes her out to dinner, buys her fancy clothes. That's the way that the world goes round. And that's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, next you're down. There's a half an inch of water. You think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world.
Walk me through through the steps of how the Frisky Kids came to be. It started off in someone's garage, right?
In a basement.
In a basement. Yeah. Okay, so take me from there.
Well, I was living in St. Anne's, going to John Abbott College, and I was living in a house, and Matisse was pretty much crashed there all the time. So
basically,
he was basically living there. And it was just me and him at the time, and we started playing in our basement and trying to jam out, but we kept getting tickets and complaints from our neighbors. So eventually we had to go back to Hudson so we could play somewhere where there weren't a lot of neighbors. And that's like Matt gradually, we had a drummer before, but Matt gradually like filled in for him. And then we were playing in my parents' basement. They weren't very happy with us being there. So as soon as we could like get out of there, they were appreciative, I think. Yeah, it's quite.
We owe them a lot.
Yeah.
For letting us play there.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Thank you, Cal's mom and dad. Oh, then after that, moved downtown.
Yeah, then we moved downtown.
Downtown and Montreal?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, NDG.
NDG, yeah. We stay downtown because we're from off-island.
Yeah.
So it's like all of Montreal is just downtown. And then after we just kept playing and playing and playing shows, and it's just been growing and building.
Yep.
Playing music under a different name before, right?
Yeah, a long time ago. Like 4 or 5 years ago, we were the Dead Leaves.
The Sykes. Kind of the Sykes. Yeah.
But that was with, we had another guitarist and singer, but he like went his own way. He didn't want to play like in a band anymore. So that's kind of where this band came from. We broke up as a band, but then me and Matisse realized we wanted to still be in a band. So we had to like learn how to be frontmen.
We weren't necessarily like singers or anything, so it was very tough at first, but
didn't really know how to play our instruments that well either.
Yeah,
so it was a lot. It was a learning curve for sure. It took us a while to get our stuff together, but yeah. She put her sweet feet in the sand on the beach.
She'd never done it before. When did you realize that you sounded good when you sing?
As long as it like, you know, doesn't sound bad. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't really matter. We just wanted to play live a lot. So it's like, even if we didn't know exactly how we were sounding to people, but people weren't like saying you shouldn't be playing. So we assumed that was a good thing. Yeah.
What we wanted to do to elevate ourselves beyond, you know, just like the riffraff out there is to be vocally very good. Like, the Beatles are a very big influence because vocally they're very interesting to listen to. We want tons of harmonies in our songs.
Try to push for that, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely want to talk about the very first album that you released not long ago. What was that experience like?
Well, it was great to get the product, you know, like finally have something that we felt somewhat represented us besides like a live show.
Yeah.
Something we could like bring to people and say like, this is us, as opposed to saying, please come to a show and like, maybe you'll like it. You know what I mean? So it was really felt like a step in the right direction. Yeah.
Was it a fun experience overall, would you say?
Recording it was stressful at times.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're always watching your money and you're always like, you want it to finish, but at the same time, there's always something that's wrong with it. There's always that little detail that's just not right. But when it was finally done, we got the mastering in and, you know, we got the artwork all figured out, thanks to our good friend Alex. It felt just really, really nice, like, to have the physical copy, you know, something that we did together as like a team.
What was the first time you ever performed your original songs?
Was it a Roots jam night?
Yeah, it was like an open mic night. It was really weird. Yeah. Yeah. It was at like a smoked meat joint.
I used to work, yeah. I delivered pizzas there and we got the jam night there. It was a weird experience, but...
We had three songs ready and we played all three songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun though.
Not necessarily well, but... Yeah, it was cool.
Was the reception good?
It was pretty good. There was like this one guy dancing. I don't think the other people liked it, but this one guy was like, that wasn't that bad. And because of that, we're like, oh, it must have been good. Thank you, sir.
It was back in like Hudson, so yeah. People are like, they're not gonna be an asshole about it.
Yeah, and they just want to eat their smoked meat, you know? They want to hear garage rock, so we sympathize with them, yeah.
So what's something at the end of a performance that makes you think, that was good?
If it was good.
It's just like really like, I mean, because you play in front of crowds, you play in front of big crowds, and you play in front of like no crowds. And honestly, if we play well, I think we all feel it. And then it doesn't matter if we're playing in front of 2 people or 20 people or 40 people. It's like, it felt good to us. You know what I mean? So whoever saw it is like, it's like, okay, they played well. At least we think we played well. Because like sometimes we play so badly, like because we're too drunk and it's like a packed room, but it seems like a good show just because everyone's having a good time. But then other times we play like to nobody and we play very well, very professionally, and it feels almost even better. Just cause, like, that's the real challenge, yeah.
Performed at some pretty cool festivals, some pretty cool cities, and what's been the most memorable performance so far?
In a good way or like a bad way?
Oh, either.
Okay, well, we played like a comedy show in Brooklyn not too long ago, and it was a great time. We had a lot of fun, but it really isn't like, it was very strange for us. Like, we were supposed to be like, you know, play artists on and off, but we weren't aware of that. We've never done anything like that. So it was kind of a... It's a different time, yeah. And it was our first time playing in NYC, so it was just nice to be there, yeah.
And Matt, what was the best performance for you?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I think the first time we went down to Massachusetts and we played at this weird sort of fraternity. Yeah. these guys found us. We were playing at Barfly. And some guy, like, got in touch with us and he said, come and play at my fraternity down in the States. And we were like, oh, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. So we made the trip, and it was our first time playing down in the States, and I had, like, a really, really good time.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was like, free beer, free hot dogs. That's all you need.
And it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
A quintessential Frisky Kids song that people should listen to get an idea of your music?
It's like, for now, I guess it would be definitely Enchanté. I mean, that's like our crowd favorite. Everyone knows it. And like, you know, it's often associated with us. But then the new music, while it's still like the same like energy and stuff, it's a bit different. So I don't know how like it would be like, if it would really describe us for the future, for the next releases. But I'd say, yeah, like, Enchanté would be great. What Can I Do is more along the veins of what we're going into.
And speaking of Enchanté, what was it like recording your first music video?
Well, that was actually our third music video.
For As Frisky Kids?
Yeah, As Frisky Kids.
I mean, technically second for Enchanté.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But it was, like, our first, like, more, like, real effort was put into it. And it was really fun, again, but that was a very stressful time, too, because, like, it was, we were at the gym for until, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, like, and we're not really that well in shape, and jumping on trampolines is very, like, very heavy work, yeah.
7 hours.
So, yeah, we'd just be like, do it again, and, like, on the trampoline till like 4, we were going a little bit crazy. Yeah, so I think we were happy when it was done, to be honest, yeah.
That you guys released a full album as your first album release, because usually bands go with an EP. Was that like a conscious decision, or is it something that just happened organically?
We did have an EP, but it was really like, really just half-assed, you know? It was just like...
It was like recorded at like 2 places.
Yeah.
Like a couple songs recorded at a place.
So it was like, that was like we weren't very proud to give it to people, you know what I mean? And then the new album, it was just like, we're like, well, we've got all the songs lined up, so why not just record them all? Then people can pick and choose, you know what I mean? Like,
actually, it was kind of the opposite of the album where we had the the middle drummer, whatever, between Matt and Matt, I guess. Matt recorded a couple of first songs, then we had the new guy record the rest of it. So it was like weird. And he like had just started, so
yeah,
it was like kind of like it wasn't perfected. We weren't like, so it was a very homemade do-it-yourself thing, but at a studio, so it was like cost us still.
You must have learned a lot from that experience that you applied.
Absolutely. Every time we go in the studio, it's like we learn something more. And that's, it's just like another skill, just like playing your instruments, is like learning how to act and play in the studio, you know? And starting to feel really comfortable in our studio, yeah.
From all this music that makes me want to say. You flip me around.
What are some of the challenges of running a rock and roll band in Montreal?
Well, we do have it lucky though, because like the rent is very cheap here. So we've heard like horror stories of Vancouver bands and like how bad they get it. I think the hard time though is just bringing in
people,
you know, and then like as soon as a promoter or a band hears that you're pretty good at bringing in people, they ask you to play a show, but then like they're just basically expecting you to bring in a crowd. You know, they're not even gonna try to bring a crowd, and you kind of have to like navigate who's giving you a really good gig and who's just like, just trying to basically jump over your back, you know what I mean? Like a good show is when both bands can bring a decent amount of people, and then whoever stays for the first band and sees like some of the songs, maybe they'll get new fans, and then the other people's fans see theirs, so everyone helps each other. It's all about helping each other, yeah.
And also like, thing is like some venues like, the people that greet you that are like sound guys or whatever, like they're just not as nice. Like, we were just in Brooklyn, right? And they like, we walked in, they greet us with a beer. They're like, hey, like welcome. Like they're
different.
So nice. Yeah. And like, we were just not used to that. Cause like a lot of like, whenever we show up for a gig, like we're like, hey, we're like playing, like where do we go? And it's just like,
yeah.
Do something. Like, just like, what do we do?
Yeah, rudeness.
Yeah, rudeness.
These people being rude.
Anything in the works right now?
Yeah, we're actually recording a new album right now. We have one song done. We're going to the studio most of this week, getting on the way with that, and we're super excited to release it. Because all the skills we took in from the last album and coupled that with a year of playing, and feel like we can really like make this new one something else.
Yeah. Something even better than the first album.
It's gonna be more cohesive. Everything's gonna sort of come together.
It's gonna flow.
Because the other songs, the last album, were written over a long period, like 2 years, 3 years, and like
since the beginning.
So yeah, so a lot of influences. And now we've got like a more cohesive sound. Like all these songs that will be on it have been written in the last year, so it's all like the same mindset. And I think the album will be stronger for that. Yeah. So if you like it, you'll like it, and if you don't like it, you won't like it. But I think that's important. Yeah.
And the first album was self-titled. Does this one have a name yet?
We're thinking like Ugly Art. It's there was an artist who had a series of paintings called that he termed Ugly Art. Kind of like that. Seems like it'd be fun, you know. And then get our faces painted in his style or something, you know, to decorate it. Could be fun like that. Yeah.